the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I wanted to wear a shirt today that said, I survived the Democratic debate of October 2000, whatever. We did. We survived it. Michelle and I and Mike Blake jumped in our car and drove over there. Got over there about 4 hours early over Westerville, Ohio, which was, by the way, my, as I've said a number of times, my alma mater. It was like a trip down memory lane going back to some of those old haunts from my 1971 to 75 when we were over there. And, what an experience to be part of. I'm not going to talk a whole lot about that. I got a little video I'm going to show you of it, folks. And here's what I think. I think somebody's greatly, greatly lying to us. Greatly lying to us. I want you to think about this a second. All of the presidential candidates, all the people running for president, serious running for president, were in Westerville, Ohio last night. I went to a Donald Trump rally. I don't know how long ago that was, down in Cincinnati. You had to stand in line. And that entire huge stadium that seated 25,000 people. People couldn't get in. They were flocked outside, standing in line outside. And I go to the Democratic debate last night in Westerville. And there were a few people there. A few people bust in. A few lost people. What's that? Hey, no, that wasn't. What were they chanting? This is what democracy looks like. This is what democracy looks like. There were a few of them doing that. There were a few Peter Butt plug groups over here, and then there was a Biden group here, and then there was a weren't any Hillary groups there yet. And then there was a butt plug. I really, that butt plug. I mean, that guy's Elizabeth Warren crowd there, Bernie crowd. Most of them, to me, looked like they probably weren't from around here, to be perfectly honest with you, although some of them probably were. And got downtown into where the meat of the gathering was going on in downtown West. See, Otterbein is the kind of, it's the, it has its own, you know how universities are, it has its own section, right? Own little section divided off the university. It's pretty, it's a nice place. Then you go downtown Westerville, and the people are on the streets downtown Westerville, and the Trump supporters are out, and it was really, really good. Mike Blake and I were saying as we were coming home, boy, it's good to see us finally begin to push back. Begin to push back against those guys. Not physically push back, but to push back. It was good. Glad we went. I'm going to talk about that a little bit. Got a lot, man. Busy. Busy, busy time. Busy. October of 2019 has been a really busy, busy month for us here at Coach Dave Live, whatever you call, whatever we do. We're heading to, tomorrow I go to Harrison County to speak to the Republicans. How about that? Boy, I'm gonna light them up tomorrow night. In fact, the guy that organized it told me to bring both barrels, so he gets to clean up the mess. So I go there tomorrow, and then Friday we go to Hamburg. That's the name. Hamburg, Pennsylvania. Bobby Lee has, I'll get that up here in a second, Bob. Bobby Lee's having an event out there we're going to talk about there. And then I get back home on Sunday. Yeah, then maybe the next week we go to the Rimfire Conference in where am I going? Montana. And it's been a killer. It's been a killer month. It really has. So be good to get my feet back on me as November gets here. Got Jamie Waldron coming up, and you know, I haven't even hardly talked about that yet. I got to turn up the nozzle on that a little bit. And listen. So, hey, folks, it's cost us some this month, okay? So some of you could go and help us out a little bit. You know, every time we go to one of these events, I try to foot the bill for everybody. I don't want Bobby Lee to have to foot the bill. I don't want Mike and Polly Heath to have to foot the bill. I don't want Rob Pugh to have to foot the bill. We try to do that. So if you could help us out a little bit with trying to meet some of those expenses. And we get to November. I can't believe it's November. as we get to November, things begin to motor down a little bit for us and be able to catch my breath. Hey, I got a couple things I want to throw up here real quickly. Hey, Jared, pull up their kiwis. Let's just start the bottom and kind of work up. The kiwis, I got to give a tip of my cap today to our friends in New Zealand. That's even hard for me to say. People are watching in New Zealand. I got this from our old buddy Tony down there in New Zealand. He says, hey, Coach, just finished listening to your show. Coach, I love your show. I've been listening from the start. It's my feeding hole each weekday. Boy, Tony, you're in trouble. One of the reasons I love it is because of the masculine platform you and the huddle bring. Plus, you remind me of my dad, who always called a spade a spade. I love that raw passion, anger that I have so longed for. Amen, brother. Thanks, Tony. I often wonder, this. Me too, Tony. I often wonder what happened to some of the guys on the show that seem to be so engaged, like family, but they're not around anymore. What happened to them? Did they outgrow us? I can't imagine them being offended. Anyway, just wanted to give the tip of the hat, as it were, to you in the huddle. The Kiwis are always tuned in, sold out to the King of Kings, Tony. Kind regards, Tony, New Zealand. New Zealand, there's a Salt and Light Brigade sticker. God bless you guys, Tony. And I don't want to leave America, but I'm going to come to New Zealand. I'm going to come and get together with you guys out there. I got some other friends in New Zealand through the internet. So love to partner with all of you guys. Yeah, what happened to all those guys? They used to be like family, and then they're gone. I don't know. Let's pull the one up there from Chad today as well. Chad sent out this special one, a special alert from the Salt and Light Brigade. Chad says, greetings, the season of Hollywood is upon us. For some, it's a time of innocence, ringing doorbells and receiving candy. For others, it's a time of satanic rituals. Yeah, that's right, Chad. They take it seriously. It's a high satanic holiday. For others, it's a time of satanic rituals where sacrifices, hexes, spells, and curses are cast. Not believing these satanic rituals occur does not stop them from happening. And folks, just because you don't believe it doesn't make it mean it's not true. This is a simple message to you, the body of Christ, a call to armor up and push back against the evil of this world. Hone your prayer skills and be target specific. Obviously, our leaders will be one of the objectives of the evil ones. Let's have a concerted effort to combat what they attempt to conjure up. Let's place a wall around them that deflects their words back onto them. Pray that they would be rendered powerless. Folks, if we don't stand up to them and this, then who will? The more we sweat in repentance, the less we bleed in judgment. That's a great line, Chad. The more we sweat in repentance, the less we bleed in judgment. Bless you, Chad. Got anything to add to that this morning, Chad? You in here with us?
No, sir. Nothing to add.
That's well done, well said, brother. The more we sweat in repentance, the more we bleed in judgment. That is a good one, man.
Well, that's the thing that, you know, we have in the military. It says the more you sweat in peace, the less you bleed in war. And so that's saying that by training and by making application of training, When the real stuff comes on down the pipe, see, you can intervene here. Your training and all that stuff's going to pay off.
I'm telling you, because it's coming, isn't it, brother? It, folks, it's coming. It's coming. I saw it last night again. You know what I saw in some of the Bernie supporters? I wish I could get Michelle on here, because we're out there with Created Equal, Lexi Hall, and Austin Beigel, and the guys holding signs with them. And you know what we found out from a lot of the people who were there? They've never even thought about the abortion issue. They never even thought about it. Some of them are radical, you know, radical abortionists, but a lot of young people hadn't even really thought about it. So Michelle had some great conversations about it. I know Lexi did as well. And folks, these people are just lost. And I saw last night, again, for sure, that the Democratic Party is nothing more than a conglomerate of single issue voters. That's all it is. This group's for unions. This group's for LGBTQ. This one's against corporations. This one, they're not unified, folks. They're not unified at all. They're not unified. And so this false thing that you're trying to tell us that the enemy is. But Chad, I can tell you this, they're working nonstop. And yes, my favorite witch showed up last night. She always runs us down. We know what, you know, we know what's going on in Satan's high and holy holiday, right? We know that. We know that the enemy's never resting. We know he doesn't take a day off. We know that even though in the world it looks one way, it could be another. And we know that they are working mightily behind the scenes to try to disrupt everything good and decent, folks. And if we lose sight of that spiritual warfare and what's really going on, then we get what we deserve. Okay?
One more check. I'm just going to say also that, you know, they don't play defense very good.
No, they don't.
Okay? So if you think of them as like a fighter, okay, if they're always throwing punches and you're always having to try to block, see, they're just always throwing punches. Okay, and our side's always just like, just love them and just turn your, keep turning your face. Just keep turning your face from side to side. Just keep taking it. Well, yep. No, we should. Look, give some punches back. You know, block and counter. And that's what we need. Action beats reaction. Action beats reaction.
Action beats reaction. I think it's a time for some kicks in the crotch. That's what I think. I think it's time for some kicks in the crotch. Now, some of you Christians may not like that. Not literal, but it's time to do some crotch kicking here.
In my humble opinion. I got my boots on, Coach. I got my boots on.
I got mine on, buddy. I was ready to kick last night. I was wired and ready to go last night. It was actually. Hang on a second, Rog. Jared, get ready the one from Kevin next, please. Go ahead, Roger.
Just slow down, baby. That anger is starting to come out now. Relax.
Yeah, but Tony in New Zealand likes it. Maybe I'll move to New Zealand. Go ahead, Roger.
I was just going to say, you want to calm down. That anger is starting to show, brother.
Oh, I got you. Okay. I thought you were going to follow up with something.
Calm down, baby.
I sent this out to a bunch of people, and I thought I would throw this out for you. Allowing Muslim students to pray during school hours. You understand this? Are we letting Christian kids? If they allow that, then we should bring back our flags into the classroom and allow others to pray too. Time for the Christians to speak up and demand their rights. Amen. When we get together, get 100,000, that's 100. When we get 100 million, that's 100 million willing Christians to bond together, voice their concerns, and vote. We can take back America with God's help. Become one of the 100 million. Then let's get 200 million. It can be done just by sending this email to your friends. Do the math. It only takes a single willing heart and a fed up soul. God bless America and shine your light on her. In 1952, President Truman established a one day as a national day of prayer. That's 52. That's the year I was born, 67 years ago. In 88, President Reagan designated the first Thursday in May as a national day of prayer. 2007, then President candidate Barack Obama declared that the USA was no longer a Christian nation. I don't know if we'll ever recover from that Muslim freak. I'm not mad. In May 2009, President Obama, there you go, dismissed our 21st annual National Day of Prayer ceremony at the White House under the ruse of not wanting to offend anyone. September 25th, 2009, a Muslim prayer day was held on the west front of the U.S. Capitol building, the site where presidents have been inaugurated since 1981. There were over 50,000 Muslims in D.C. That day, President Obama dismissed our National Day of Prayer, and now it's okay for an event at our Capitol for the Muslims. Muslim freak! I, for one, was offended. But wait, didn't stop. February 17 through 19, 2015. Who was president in 2015? Huh? Oh, yeah, that tolerant, diversity freak we put in there. On that day, a Muslim prayer was recited at the start of the second day of the White House summit on countering violent extremism, but no other religious text was presented during the portion of the event that was open to the press. Imam Sheikh Syed Musay Obobo, a president of the World Peace Organization in Minneapolis, Minnesota, recited a verse from the Quran following remarks by Obama administration officials and Democrat members of Congress. Former President Obama encouraged schools to teach the Quran for extra credit. while at the same time we cannot even talk about the Bible, God, pray, or salute the American flag. Yeah, the Koran and homosexuality. That's the pillars of American education today. Former President Obama encouraged schools to teach. Oh, I said that. The direction this country was headed should strike fear in the heart of every Christian. How refreshing and beautiful. Our First Lady Melania Trump was in Melbourne Forum February 18, 2017. Instead of the normal pumping up of the crowd, Melania chose to start the rally off with the Lord's Prayer. It sounded more like the start of a football game after the national anthem rather than what we would expect to hear after a prayer. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord thy God. The sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity of Madeleine Murray O'Hare and the ACLU efforts in 1962, school prayer was removed from the U.S. public education system by slowly changing the meaning of the First Amendment through a number of court cases over several court cases should be confronted and reversed. Amen. Amen. Send this to 10 people. That's what we're trying to do, try to wake people up. Trying to wake people up.
Yesterday, there was a Drudge report that the Supreme Court rejected hearing a case about a girl, I think it was in Maryland, that was said that her religious rights were being trampled at the cost of Muslims being able to read their prayers and stuff in school, and she couldn't, and the Supreme Court refused to hear her case.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Pull up Bobby's email real quick, Jared. Hi, everyone. This is from Bobby Lee. God bless Bobby Lee. I'm going to say it again. God bless Bobby Lee. This weekend is coming up quickly, and I have been able to lock arms with the Lehigh Valley Tea Party and the Berks County Patriots in this area. Berks County is providing me with a table this Thursday night where I can get out equal justice information. I believe we're all going to have a good turnout this weekend. I encourage all of you to make the trip to join us. This event is at the major intersection leading to the biggest Cabela's in the country. This will be a great time of engaging with other like-minded people in the huddle Friday night and the boots on the ground Saturday morning. Hope to see you there. God bless you, Bobby. That stuff can all be found at CoachDaveLive.com. Go to our events page, tell you where to be and what to be. Hey, if you're a couple hours out, come and join us. Come and be part of it. Man, I'm wound up today. I got to show this. I don't know if you can, Jared. Jared, show the vid. I'm going to show you how eerie the world is. Jared, this just says Coach Vid. I hope you got it. I thought I sent it to you. Yeah, I did. I don't know if you can pull that thing up. I got up today, and just before the show started, this thing popped up on my cell phone. Are you able to? I'm not scolding you, Jared. Are you going to be able to get it? Yeah, you got it. It says Coach Vid. I got it. Maybe you didn't get it. Okay, if you didn't get it, it's no big deal. It really isn't a big deal. Okay, so, hey, listen, two things before I get too deep into this thing. We need some, excuse me, clear my throat. We need to pray for a couple of our buddies. We need to pray for Serge. Serge is, I got a text message from Serge yesterday. He's still having issues with whatever's going on in his mouth and in his throat. And he went to the doctor, and the doctor assured him that it didn't appear to be any type of cancer or anything like that. So he's going to go in for some more tests, more biopsy. But I know, listen, that boy has been going through it, man. His parents are not well. A lot of issues going on with Serge, a lot of them. We need to pray for Serge. And, you know, a guy's kind of got lost in the shuffle. I feel bad because I really haven't followed up more. Yeah, pray for Sue Knapp, too. Yeah, pray for Sue Knapp and what's going on with the wreck that she had and the whole situation she finds herself in. And Todd Barham, you know, I haven't heard from – I feel bad. I was talking to Lexi a little bit last night, and I'm sorry I didn't have more information about Todd. You know, Todd's still fighting that fight against that dastardly disease that he's up against. So we got to – folks, we have to continually, daily, remember those folks in our prayers. I trust Pastor Dale Sosh to come and lead us a prayer just for them. Dale, if you'd come and do that for I assume that you're in some place where you can do it. Let's just pray for Todd. Let's pray for Todd and Serge and Sue Knapp. And there are others. I'm sure there are others that we don't. They're going through it and fighting through it. And That's part of what we ought to be doing is holding each other up in prayer. So, Dave, would you go ahead and pray for them?
You know, it's crazy, Coach, because I'm sitting here. I'm actually out in California. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to wake up for the show this morning, but here I am. So, and I was thinking about that. I was like, some of the people, I was like, where's Victor and stuff? And, you know, and so my heart was there is like, you know, being concerning to reach out. But we do know this, that the Holy Spirit knows everyone by name. He knows their situation. So, Father, we do come before you with bended knee and humble heart. And, Father, we know this. There's things in the earth that you've given men gifts to be able to do to help people. But, Lord, then there's things, God, where we just have to release them unto you and trust the power of the Holy Spirit to descend down, to impact and empower people, to heal people, Father. We believe this. We believe when we preach the kingdom of God, Lord, it invokes into the earth. Devils are casted down, crushed under our feet, and people are healed, set free, and delivered. Lord, we do lift up Serge to you, Father. We do lift up Todd. We lift up all of these needs, Lord, physically, mentally, spiritually, Father. And I pray, God, Lord, that you would comfort them, Lord, and I pray that you would empower them, and I pray that you would heal them this very day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, Dale. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Jared, pull up Psalm 91 real quick, if you can. Psalm 91. Because I take seriously what Chad said about the times in which we live, what's going on around us. And, folks, I think this would be wise if you made this a daily prayer around your house. All of you can do this. Psalm 91, make it something that you pray daily over those you love, over your house, everything that just over your life. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with thy wings, with thy feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. He shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by the day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Folks, think about that. Those things that we just read there, right? Think about those. Terror by night, arrow flies by day, pestilence walketh in darkness, destruction wasteth at noonday. That it's flying all around us. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. And only with thy eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, I made the Lord my habitation. There shall be no evil befall you, and no plague shall come near thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, guide you in all thy way. Thou shalt bear thee up with thy hands, lest they dash thy foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion, the dragon. You're going to trample them under your feet. Because he hath set his love upon you, therefore will he deliver you. He'll set you on high because you have known the Lord's name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pray that over your families. Psalm 91. Make that something, man. Cool. I got someplace to go still, even yet. Anybody? Anybody got anything for the good of the group here? How about Robert Klaus getting us going here quickly, Robert, on October 15th? Is that where we are? 16th.
All right. That's where we are.
You're not driving a car or anything this morning, are you, Robert?
Nope. I'm back home.
All right, buddy. Give it to us.
First, and Second Peter 2:1 on false prophets, and then the devotional is going to talk about true prophets, which we need today to speak the truth. But Second Peter 2:1, 2, and 3 says, "The false prophets also arose among the people. There it is, among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bringing upon them swift destruction." And many will follow their pernicious ways or sensuality, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of.
Wow.
And covetousness, they shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not.
Oh.
So anyway, that's the false prophets today. Now the devotional addresses the true prophets. And we know Ephesians 4:11 says God has appointed apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And we need them today. Here it is. We need an old-time revival by God-called prophets who grieve the devil. In these last days, God will raise up spirit-anointed prophets who are not afraid to rock the boat nor hesitant to cleanse the temple of prosperity preachers, demonic poachers, false prophets, and religious promoters. Isaiah 3:7. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. One reason the house of God is in such a mess is that false prophets, priests, and teachers have invaded the church. And then Lamentations 4:12, the kings of the earth did not believe, nor did any of the inhabitants of the world, that the adversary and the enemy could enter the gates of Jerusalem because of the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priests. Wow. And many prophets not sent by God promote themselves as God's special agents in this late hour. But God said, from Jeremiah, if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have announced my words to my people.
Amen.
And it would have turned them back from the evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Unfortunately, many armchair theologians mistakenly believe God's prophets have all packed their bags and left town long, long ago.
Amen.
However, true spirit-filled New Testament prophets still speak and are heard and are received by those who acknowledge God's true messengers. And these New Testament prophets predict in the future or in reading someone's mail or with dispensing gold dust, angel feathers, and dominion proclamations.
Amen.
Rather, they will speak to men for edification and exhortation and consolation so that all may learn and be exhorted. In some cases, they may proclaim not so good news to those who hide their secret sins. And don't hold your breath waiting for sin-loving pew dwellers so addicted to church junk food religion and pastoral devil's food cake to jump for joy when such prophets wake them up.
Amen, buddy.
As for them, whether they listen or not, for they are a rebellious house, you shall speak my words, and they will know that a prophet has been among them.
Amen.
Ezekiel 2. And you, son of man, neither fear them nor fear their words, though thistles and thorns are with you, and you sit on scorpions, neither fear their words nor be dismayed at their presence. For they are a rebellious house, Ezekiel 2:6. The time will come when disaster will come upon disaster and rumor will be added to rumor. Then they will seek a vision from a prophet, but the law will be lost from the priest and counsel from the elders, Ezekiel 7. Yeah. Last paragraph. Beware of false prophets who tickle ears and console sinners, who proclaim peace when there is no peace, who breathe out eternal security to entombed sinners when imminent judgment is knocking on the door.
Yeah.
Those who value the Holy Spirit's anointed prophets will take up their holy mantle. Those who understand the times will properly line up for spiritual battle. Those who are wise will make the most of their time. Those who have faith will overcome the world. Those who persevere will be delivered in the end. Those who run the race will see the vision for the appointed time. Those with holy zeal will return to the Great Commission. And those who are holy will attend the heavenly wedding.
That is so heavy, Robert. There's so much in there. Jared, listen, we have got to get the version. How does Jared get that, Robert? So we can play it on the screen and people can read along with it. Where would he find that?
If he can go Amazon and he can purchase the ebook, and I think hopefully he could post copy and paste for the ebook right on the screen.
Okay, that would be good if we could do that, man. This is so thick. This Jared, you're making a face. Does that make sense to you, what he's talking about? Okay. Okay. you'll figure it out, man. You'll figure it out. Cool. Listen, I got something heavy I want to dive in. Anybody? Thank you, Robert. Anybody else have anything for the good of the group here? I got something heavy I want to dive into.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
What is that devotional that he's reading from?
Yeah, that's good, isn't it? Huh? It's called Finders of Truth, Keepers of Faith, written by Robert Klaus. You can get it at Amazon. And it's good, man. It's good. It's a manly, warring devotional. No frills in this baby. So there it is. They can get it at Amazon.
It's Finders Keepers, was it?
Finders Keepers. Finders of Truth, Keepers of the Faith. Robert Klaus. Like Klous. Klaus. Robert Klaus.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I don't know if everyone realizes how great an opportunity we have. I mean, I'm not building Robert up. I mean, but this is outstanding, Coach. This is some of the best writing that you'll see or read. And to be part of this, I'm thankful. I'm glad God's brought him in because this is outstanding. This is truth.
Amen. Amen. Hey, listen. You don't find many. You don't find many guys like Robert. You don't find many. Guys, I don't know if you know this or not. Probably didn't tell. We had to get Robert. Let him give a little bit of a testimony. He got fired from Liberty University. He was a teaching professor at Liberty University. And he got fired. And his theology changed a little bit. And they didn't like that fact that his theology changed. And he got fired. So Robert Klaus isn't just some clunker that fell off the turnip truck. He's a well-learned, well-educated Bible, whatever you call him, a theologian, scholar, call him whatever you want to. And he's put together not only this book, but what's the name of your other book, Robert? I'm sorry, man. I don't have the top of my head, but I don't.
It's called Time to Stand, a 52-chapter book.
Time to Stand. Hey, Robert, maybe we'll take a day and I'm going to let you talk about both of those. I want to move on to something else here today. God bless you, man. Thanks for being part of the group. And maybe your wife someday will show her face. She sits right beside you and we can't see her face. We'll get her on here someday. Just kidding. Hey, Jared, pull up Bradley Dean's commentary. I never do that. I don't think I've ever done what I'm getting ready to do. But I'm going to. This was so good. This was so good. This was at News with Views today. And it's just kind of the topic we've been talking about. So I want to read down through this. And then, Jared, I want us to get ready. Maybe, Jared, you can get that first video ready. If you go down, it says YouTube video. Maybe you can go ahead and get that one queued up here. Bradley Dean wrote, you can get that. Because I know it takes you a minute. Not that one. First one. There's the first. We're going to play about three of them. So you get that one queued up. Said, I prayed for if I prayed for 20 years, Frederick Douglass, a former slave, said this. I prayed for 20 years but received no answer until I prayed with my legs. Just recently, while speaking at an event, I heard a preacher ask a question to the congregants. That would have been me, by the way. In the state that America is in today, is it a ministry such as Franklin Graham, James Dobson, Pat Robertson, etc., why have they not taken their faith to the streets and protest concerning corruption within the government? Many of these national ministries are put up to keep the people down. This is First Matthew 16. The fruit proves the seed. In other words, in fact, they are driving support to created opposition, teaching men to submit to corrupt government rather than God's moral law. Scripturally, they have it backwards and upside down. See, we're not to bow to government. We're to bow to God. Government is to bow to God. Okay? Now he goes on, says, now after I heard the preacher bring forth this question, I thought that was a good question to those who are not paying attention. Yet there is an obvious answer to those who are paying attention. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. This is Isaiah 30, verse 1. And that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. That walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be of any, or nor help, nor be nor being help nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. Question being asked here is, why are some of our religious leaders so cozy with governmental leaders? Jared, play that first video. This rocked me, man. It blew me away.
It's Fallen Stars, Billy Graham. Folks, be not deceived with the first appearance of things, for show is not substance. Somehow, and I know not how, in Hollywood, they put up these fallen, demoralized, and debased reprobates as some sort of standard bearers of moral guidance. They take it so far as to honor the fallen with a star on the sidewalk, suggesting that there is some sort of honor instead of shame obtained when their names are written upon one of them. It tells us in Luke 10:18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. The stars in Hollywood located on the sidewalks represent a fallen star. Fallen stars are in the Bible represent Satan as those angels who sided with him in rebellion against the God of Israel. Keep in mind, during the turn of the century, Hollywood was originally the location where land was given away freely to congregations that were willing to erect their churches. Also, up until 1968, it was the church's obligation to vet all movies before being released to the populace in America. How far has the church fallen from their duties before God? Friends, Hollywood is the place where the occult is magnified and honored, where witches and warlocks are. True desensitization normalized in where the fallen angels congregate, and the ideologies and manifestations of demons are given life and brought into the mainstream, and yet somehow Hollywood and its fallen stars have become some standard for people to go and to emulate. One star in particular that I couldn't help but notice was that of Billy Graham. Yes, I said Billy Graham, the ecumenical preacher, the oneness evangelical, the evangelical pope, as they called him when living. Why would Billy Graham have a Hollywood star? Pedophiles, homosexuals, child murderers, cult leaders, and advocates of every form of evil are praising Billy Graham, and yet Jesus Christ was hated, as were his disciples, 11 of the 12, were martyred. How does this make biblical sense? Jesus Christ was rejected and crucified, but somehow Billy Graham is accepted and praised by the world? The only explanation must be a totally different gospel being preached than that which was preached by Christ himself. There is no other reasonable explanation. The message was and is, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The message was not God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, like that of Billy Graham.
All I am is a messenger to give you a message that God loves you and is willing.
Remember, Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Or what of Luke 6:26? Woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Quite telling, is it not? Hollywood and its fallen stars have nothing to offer but that which God condemns in so many different ways. Look to the hell that they themselves have helped to create. It is a spirit of Antichrist at work to deceive the people into the ways of deception and at length death and hell. The Bible clearly tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So tell me, why then would Hollywood and the world be loving on Billy Graham so much as to honor him with a Hollywood star?
Wow.
Amen.
Huh? Did you guys know that? Did you know Billy Graham has a star? And
see, this was always puzzled me. Why did every president meet with Billy Graham, but then didn't meet with the Pope? See, it just boggles me. Why him? Why and him?
That, amen. Oh, I don't know, man. Beware when all people speak good of you. It just is what it is, man. Let me continue. Go ahead.
Yeah, real quick. You know, it's crazy. They destroyed Donald Trump's star. Isn't that kind of unique?
Isn't that something? They got Billy Graham's star there, and Donald Trump's been destroyed. Says if coaches in the NFL, the first thing I would have you notice is that America's favorite preachers are not the standard of Christianity. Jesus Christ is the standard, right? Neither is there any salvation under Billy Graham or any other man. If the coaches in the NFL lost as many games as preachers in America have metaphorically lost, how many times have I said that, right? If the coaches in the NFL lost that many games, they would have been thrown off of the team a long time ago, right? The hierarchies in the American church are the problem. They forfeited our possessions to the other team, the evil team, through false doctrine, through their inactions over and over again. They are the reason that corruption prevails within the walls of government. And why? Because they don't preach out against the sins that they themselves are guilty of. How could it be otherwise when corruption prevails within the walls of the church? While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought into bondage. So, Jared, let's go back up there. Let's go back up. Jared, there's another video. Play that video right there, Jared.
Hey, Dave, 1 second. I want to make a comment on that. Ready. Sorry.
Go ahead, Chad.
Okay, I was just going to say, some of them, they are like the team that plays always against the Globetrotters, the Harlem Globetrotters. That's what they are. They're paid to lose.
Yes.
Okay, they're paid to lose.
Amen. 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 Hey, Jared, maybe we can play this one a little bit faster, okay? Play this a time and a half. These are all, I got three of them I want to get in today so you get where Bradley's gone. America's new god is sports. Go ahead, Jared.
America, just think with me for a moment.
Again, folks, think about what I've said over and over and over and what Kevin Bushy's email said. What if we could get Christians unified and into the streets? And I want you to think about what I saw yesterday and how many people are at an Ohio State football game. Go ahead and play it. Go.
If you would. Picture this with me. Just think about 40,000 people getting together to protest crimes against we the people and the laws of our constitutional republic at the state capitol. Do you realize that we could stop the crimes against we the people in 1 week? That is, when the people say that enough is enough. How is it that the American people have evolved into finding within themselves that it is normal to strip themselves of their clothes, paint themselves half purple and half yellow, put horns on their head, and then present themselves as absolute fools for the world to see, while screaming to the point of losing their voice along with any dignity that they may have had left? And all of this, friends, over a bunch of full-grown men in tights fighting over a pig ball. Or what of a little golf ball? Or what of a baseball? A soccer ball? A little plastic puck? Or what of a volleyball? Or what of this one, friends? Cars driving in a big circle over 500 times. Did you know, America, that your sworn enemies are attacking you while you are entertaining yourselves out of your freedoms? Your enemies have stated that America's God is now their sports. And just think to yourself that you have been desensitized into believing that there's something wrong with them that are fighting for your freedoms. Just think about what I'm saying. America has been so stupefied to believe that the preacher is too radical when preaching out against them that murder innocent babies in their womb? That sounds pretty radical to me. But not the sports commentators that act like hoodlums on a double shot of caffeine when the game is going in the direction that they would have it go. Friends, is it too radical to preach out against them that advocate crimes against nature? Homosexuality? Or what if this? To preach out against crime and corruption within our government? This is the whole purpose of the church, friends. The church is called to be the moral compass of society, and when this goes, all goes. After all, it is the church's job to preach out against the darkness. And what does the light do? The light reproves the darkness. This is the church's job. So, Protestant, I'm sorry, let me say that slow. Protestants, The reason that America is where America is today, because the professed church is no longer proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to a repentant nation. I mean to say, why would America repent when it is the church that is entertaining themselves out of their liberties while they're being entertained through sports?
I know many of you across the country in your churches are preparing to have Super Bowl parties as well.
Can you imagine what America would be like if it actually stood up and fought for the freedoms in which hundreds of thousands of men have fought, bled, and died to give unto us? Or to the 78% of Americans that claim to serve Christ, oh, don't forget 2 Corinthians 5:15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. After all, friends, God has shed his grace upon us, and of course, not without sacrifice. Yes, we need the old-time gospel preached in power without compromise. Why? George Whitefield rightly proclaimed that the Christian world is in a deep sleep. Nothing but a loud shout can awaken them out of it. How is the church to preach? Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, rightly proclaimed, "Preach not calmly and quietly as though you were asleep, but preach with fire and pathos and passion." Or what of John Wesley, the great field prophet, back in England in the 1700s, that he sets himself on fire every morning so the world can watch him burn? So America, let me ask you, what will it be? A game in which you'll probably forget the score to the following week? And do consider the freedom in which you lose through illegal policies through the crimes committed against we the people that is only tolerated. So again, what will it be? God and establishing righteousness through his son Jesus Christ and fighting the good fight of faith? Or apathy and helping advocate evil through good men who do nothing because they didn't want to miss the next game? It's up to you.
Wow, another mic drop. There's another mic. I was watching that. Does anybody remember the Cleveland Browns score last Sunday? I was trying to follow. I didn't get a chance to watch the game. Anybody remember the score last week? No, but we were living and dying it, weren't we? We won't miss the football game. But boy, oh boy, we don't care about babies dying. We don't care about corrupt government. We don't care about over taxation. We don't. No. Okay, sorry, I got the game. Don't want to miss the game. How many people schedule their Sunday around the game or their Saturday around the game? Super Bowl parties at churches. Boy.
They even have Super Bowl Sundays at church now where they have NFL players come in. They broadcast it on the screen where they have NFL players, yep, you know, doing testimony, you know. And then so wear your jersey on Super Bowl Sunday.
Let me move on here. These are also the ones that have somehow convinced the rest of Christendom, listen, that lukewarm is the temperature that the Lord has set. You hear what he said? Lukewarm. That's God's temperature. God wants everybody lukewarm. He doesn't want us causing any friction, any fire, making anybody mad. Be lukewarm. That's the Lord's temperature. The Lord has said when it comes to his children and how they are to live out their walk. And yet Jesus stated that in Revelation 3:16, so then because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'm going to vomit you right out of my mouth. By the time the average, Watchman Nee said, by the time the average Christian gets his temperature up to normal, everybody thinks he has a fever. How diametrically opposed to Scripture can America become? When the church, Benjamin Franklin said, whoever shall introduce into public affairs the principles of primitive Christianity will change the face of the world. What the church in America has become is a group of saltless, effeminate, and spineless men who fail to judge themselves and therefore have no power to confront the world with a message of repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. The church is called to bear testimony against corruption. Because they fail to be the salt, they are simply trodden under the feet of man. And so it is, the Spirit of the Lord will not bear witness to their compromise and their lives. Oh my goodness, Bradley. Jared, play this next video. I hope you're sitting down. I gotta get this in. This is a powerful video, man. They all are. Jared, yeah, double time and a half this one as well. Bradley Dean confronts end time capitulators. The idea we're going to lose. We're out of here. Go ahead, Jared.
Or what are the end timers? You know, it's the end times. It's the end times. You know, those that are crying about every little thing that goes wrong, instead of correcting the wrong, they look to another Jesus who will come and rapture them out of where they're at. And by the way, the word rapture appears nowhere in the Bible. These people in their unregenerate state even look for excuses as to why they should write a book every year about why Jesus is coming back in that particular year. These people offer hopelessness and nothing else. Instead of them taking responsibility and keeping the commandments of God, they throw off God's commandments as legalistic instead of showing their love to the one that died for them. Titus 1:16 states, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work, reprobate. These are those who the Lord warns about in Psalm 78, verses 5 through 10, where he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. Instead of the law converting the soul, see Psalm 19:7, they use fear in the fear of consequence as their fear master to bring them unto another Jesus, who is in truth is an enemy to our souls. Yet Scripture states that we have been not given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. See 2 Timothy 1:7. What is worse is that these fuel fear at every opportunity that they have while they sit there and attempt to oppress the next generation with their lawlessness. These do not preach Christ crucified. They preach, get ready, fearful flock. Jesus is coming back to get us. They don't preach that we are overcomers, but rather submitters to the next author that writes a book about how bad everything is and that there's no sense in lifting a finger to help our posterity. They do not preach, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, 1 John 4:4, and how contrary to the word of God. Jesus taught his disciples to seek and save that which is lost, to go to the highways and to the hedges, and to go to the fields and reap the harvest. But again, these are exposed for what they leave undone, and this is a clear lack of Christianity. I say to the older generations who teach hopelessness, you will and you are despised for what you leave undone, for everyone sees your godlessness. And by the way, what Bible are you reading that you would teach the opposite of what Scripture teaches? When I hear these people say the things that they say, because it goes no further than out of their mouths, I wonder, where is Jesus? Where is God in their message? Because when I read the Word of God, I see nowhere, and I said nowhere, that we are promised defeat except in our disobedience towards God. We are not to limit the Holy One of Israel. Instead, we are to respond to God's commandments and take His promises by faith. When I read the book of Psalms, I see where David bore his cross, but God always gave him the victory, no matter what the circumstances were in David's life. My Bible teaches that God is the deliverer, and when we take heed to his word, he gives us the victory every time. Now, folks, can you imagine our forefathers back in the 1700s saying, this is it, it's all over with, Jesus is coming to get us out of here? No, our forefathers responded to God. They took heed unto him, and he bestowed upon them the victory through the Revolutionary War. Remember our national motto, no king but King Jesus, with flags waving, appeal to heaven? You see, they saw their responsibility and answered the call. America, we can call upon the God of our forefathers even now, because his name is Jesus. He will answer, but you must respond to his written word. And this is what God established to our forefathers. Jeremiah 33:14-15. Behold, the day has come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. Our forefathers did not lay down, they stood up and fought. They fought and secured their posterity, that's me and you. They didn't fall to circumstances, they sought God, God heard, answered, and set the record straight that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God showed himself strong on their behalf. Our forefathers pledged the high cost of their lives, their fortunes, and sacred honors, and paid with their blood to redeem us through their sacrifice, and we call them blessed. And the way we express our gratitude to these that gave so much is to honor them with our actions in magnifying for which they died. So next time you hear, it's the end times, there's no sense, there's no hope. Folks, open up the Bible, read the Word of God, and see for yourself that God offered nothing but hope.
Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, I got to hurry. Jared, let's go back to where we were there in the commentary, Jared. By the way, folks, we'll put this in the link that you can go back and check all these out anywhere. I got one more video. I think I got time. Jared, play that next one. I could read all this. You guys can read on your own. Jared, I think it's the – I don't think it's that one. No, go back, Jared. I'm sorry. Play the one in the middle. Folks, these are all good videos. Go watch all of them. I'm going to end the show on this one, The Picture of a Prophet. Jared, play this on regular speed. Regular speed. Picture of a Prophet. We need prophets in America today. Not pastors, not pablum, we need prophets. Go ahead, Jared.
The prophet in his day is fully accepted of God and totally rejected by man. No man can be fully accepted until he is totally rejected. The prophet of the Lord is aware of both of these experiences. They are his brand name. The group challenged by the prophets because they are smug and comfortably insulted from a perishing world in their warm but untested theology is not likely to vote him man of the year when he refers to them as the habituates of the synagogue of Satan. The prophet comes to set up that which is upset. His work is to call into line those which are out of line. He is unpopular because he opposes the popular in morality and in spirituality. In a day of faceless politicians and voiceless preachers, there's not a more urgent national need than that we cry to God for a prophet. The function of the prophet, as Austin Sparks once said, has almost always been that of recovery. The prophet is God's detective seeking for a lost treasure. The degree of his effectiveness is determined by his measure of unpopularity. Compromise is not known to him. He has no price tags. He is totally otherworldly. He is unquestionably controversial and unpardonably hostile. He marches to another drummer. He breathes the rarefied air of inspiration. He is a seer who comes to lead the blind. He lives in the heights of God and comes into the valley with a "Thus saith the Lord." He shares some of the knowledge of God and is so aware of impending judgment. He lives in splendid isolation. He is forthright and outright, but he claims no birthright. His message is repent, be reconciled to God, or else. His prophecies are parried. His truth brings torment, but his voice is never void. He is the villain of today and the hero of tomorrow. He is excommunicated while alive and exalted when he is dead. He is dishonored with epithets when breathing and honored with epitaphs when dead. He is a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, but few make the grade in his class. He is friendless while living and famous when dead. He is against the establishment in ministry, then he is established as a saint by posterity. He eats daily the bread of affliction while he ministers, but he feeds the bread of life to those who listen. He walks before men for days, but walks before God for years. He is a scourge to the nation before he is scourged by the nation. He announces, pronounces, and denounces. He has a heart like a volcano, and his words are as fire. He talks to men about God. He carries the lamp of truth amongst heretics, while he is lampooned by men. He faces God before he faces men, but he is self-effacing. He hides with God in the secret place, but he has nothing to hide in the marketplace. He is naturally sensitive, but supernaturally spiritual. He has passion, purpose, and pugnacity. He is ordained of God, but disdained by men. Our national need at this hour is not that the dollar recover its strength. We simply need a God-sent prophet.
That was from Picture of a Prophet by Leonard Ravenhill. Boy, is that... We've got a couple, 3 minutes left. All these links will be in the chat. You can get it over there. Bradley wrote this today, posted today at newswithhughes.com. I didn't get a chance to finish reading the rest of it. But comes back to what we do here and now. No man's promise tomorrow. You look for all you want to for the skies to split, for the rapture to come. You can do all that stuff that you want to. Bradley says the American church will call for prayer, and yet fail to act. The hirelings of the day apparently have forgotten to read the book of Acts. The scripture is clear on this matter. The body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Frederick Douglass said, those who profess to favor freedom and yet depreciate agitation are people who want crops without plowing the ground. They want rain without thunder and lightning. They want the ocean without the roar of its many waters. They struggle. The struggle may be a moral one, or it may be a physical one, or it may be both, but it must be a struggle. Power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did, and it never will. E.M. Bounds said, the Christian life is no picnic or excursion. It's not entertainment or a pleasure trip. It involves effort, wrestling, and struggling. It demands putting forth the full energy of your spirit in order to frustrate the foe and be, in the end, more than a conqueror. It's not a flower-strewn path, no rose-scented affair. From start to finish, it is spiritual warfare. It is a battle, not a game. From the moment they first draw their spiritual swords, Christian warriors are compelled to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What a misconception people have of the Christian life. How little the average church member appears to know of the character of the conflict and its demands upon them. How ignorant they seem to be of the enemies they must encounter if they are to serve God faithfully, succeeding in getting to heaven and receive the crown of life. They scarcely seem to realize that the world, the flesh, and the devil will oppose their onward march and will totally defeat them unless they give themselves to constant vigilance and unceasing prayer. It's just at this point that I mean to highlight the professed Christian church's greatest defects. There's little to nothing of the soldier element in it. The self-discipline, self-denial, spirit of hardship, and determination that belong to the military life and are so prominent and are lacking in Christianity. Yet, my friends, the Christian life is warfare from beginning to end. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.